Now we will hear the next contribution on the role of the working class in the fall of the bureaucratic socialism in Albania by Arlene Corey. Arlene Corey, who is a lecturer at the Department of Political Science in the University of Tirana. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me start by simple definition. From Niko Poulantzas, he defined a social formation as something which is specified by a particular articulation through an index of dominance and overdetermination of its different economic, political, and ideological levels or instances. So basically, I'm going to speak about bureaucratic socialism in Albania and its antagonism, its growing antagonism with the working class in Albania. Bureaucratic socialism was a transitory social formation in Albania, meaning that it tried to move from Albania's pre-capitalist past, not very successfully, towards a socialist modernization. Its contradictions were always evident, but they became more and more exacerbated in the last decades. On the other hand, the working class in Albania was a construct, a social construct of the party, of the bureaucracy. Let me give you some figures. In 1938, before socialism in Albania, the number of workers in Albania was just 15,000 out of a general population of about 1 million. It meant that only 1.5% were workers in pre-socialist Albania. In 1990, in the last year of bureaucratic socialism in Albania, the working class was made up of 700,000 workers out of a population of 3.2 million people, meaning that the workers were 21% of the general population. So the modernization from above, which was initiated and governed by the party bureaucracy, somehow created the working class. It meant that it created a massive, relatively modern working class, but on the other hand, it tightly controlled it. The working class in Albania had no initiative, no self-organization, and basically for decades there was a tacit consent. On the one hand, the bureaucracy asked the workers to comply with its heavy industrialization plans, and on the other hand, it gave them social mobility. Hundreds of thousands of people could rise themselves socially from being peasants or being in the collectivized agriculture and becoming industrial workers. On the other hand, it offered them job security and things like that. But on the other hand, in the 1970s, there was a structural and cultural transformation of the working class in Albania. At least until then, the workers came from a peasant background. So they somehow were enthusiastic about this kind of social mobility. But in the 70s, for the first time, the working class began to reproduce itself, meaning that working class families were giving birth to their children who will become workers. For these new workers, there were not enough goods. They could not be happy because they didn't have a peasant background. They had new demands, they had new economic demands, they had new cultural and political demands. They basically wanted more consumer goods, they wanted more personal freedom, and things like that. So it was this working class, this second working class, which, in my opinion, made the great transformation in 1990. Let's talk a little bit about the economy of bureaucratic socialism in Albania. At least until the mid-70s, it was an expansive economy. The industrial rate of growth, for example, in 1975 was 8.7%. But after the split with the Chinese, meaning that loans and grants coming from the People's Republic of China were not available anymore, The Albanian economy, the social, the bureaucratic socialist economy in Albania, entered into a period of stagnation and then crisis and catastrophe. This meant the bureaucracy had to find internal sources of accumulation, and that meant squeezing the peasantry. The peasantry was socially collectivized, meaning that peasant could not have any livestock, any plot of land, even the one cow they could use before 1980 was not available to them. And on the other hand, it meant the overexploitation of the working class. So we have a new working class with new social and political demands, but on the other hand, we have a process of overexploitation. On the other hand, squeezing the peasantry didn't mean raising agricultural productivity, but lowering it. So in the 80s, we had a lot of food shortages in Albania. On the other hand, the trade balance of the Albanian economy meant that the economy was exporting raw materials like chromium, oil, natural gas, and electrical energy, and it was importing machineries and industrial inputs. But due to several factors, the most important one was droughts, which meant that the energy exportation was becoming lower and lower. The strong currency which the bureaucracy was trying to gain from export was falling. And on the other hand, we had a lot of blackouts in factories and a lot of workers going out of work. And for the first time in the middle 80s, we had a 5 to 10% unemployment rate in Albania. The ruling bureaucracy boasted itself that unemployment was not possible in what they called real socialism that way. On the other hand, in 1987, for the first time, the rise of the social product was lower than the population rallies. So it meant going from crisis to catastrophe. On the other hand, in the late 80s, especially in 1990, the party thought to reform itself. But Albania was a peculiar country. It had to go from high Stalinism to Gorbachevism without going through the transitory period of, you know, Khrushchev reforms. So at least until the death of Enver Hoxha, the historical leader of the Party of Labor of Albania, Albania was a highly Stalinist country. You know, mass repressions, purges within the party and things like this. And its successor, Ramiz Aliyev, was forced in the late 80s to imitate what was going on in Eastern Europe and in the Soviet Union. But they were trying somehow to reform themselves without questioning the historical role of Enver Hoxha. So basically, they were creatively interpreting the speeches of Enver Hoxha to find some sentences so they could be allowed to make some reforms. What were the reforms? Economically speaking, they were called a new economical mechanism, which meant basically a kind of market socialism. Factories or enterprises were allowed to, for example, 20% of their production could be planned autonomously. On the other hand, workers' assemblies could decide almost everything, or on most important issues. They could elect the factory's director. And the factory was going to decide about its internal structure, the number of workers. It could, in theory, fire workers, but basically no factory director dared to do that because of the power the workers had and the power which the bureaucracy in the central government still had. On the political realm, in 1990, the reform started as a campaign for the pluralism of thought. It meant that, or at least the party bureaucracy claimed that we are now consolidated in our power, socialism is secure in Albania, so we can allow ourselves some kind of liberalism. For example, elections with more than one candidate were allowed. Of course, they should be party candidates. The secrecy of vote was established. The rule of law was meant to sideline the emergency power of the party. But on the other hand, these reforms somehow produced the confusions within the repressive apparatuses of the state. It was easy, for example, for the secret police to intimidate people in the food lines where they could complain for lack of meat or things like that. But once these reforms were going to take place, it was allowed to criticize, for example, even the party, but within the boundaries of socialism. But these secret police or police apparatuses had no experience of this new situation. The line between what was allowed and what was not allowed became blurred. So basically, it paralyzed the repressive apparatus. On the other hand, these reforms, economical, political, and ideological reforms of the party bureaucracy precipitated the fall of the regime. They were meant, for example, economically to raise workers' productivity. But what they produced was a deterioration of work discipline. Workers, for example, wanted, and sometimes they gained, raises of their wages without raising productivity. On the other hand, a black market began to emerge, corruption, criminalization of the youth, a kind of lumpenization of sectors of the working class in Albania. But most importantly of all, people began to ask themselves, if it is allowed to have pluralism of thought, why not political pluralism? Why not starting a new party? And that is what happened in December 1990. But let's talk a little bit more concretely about the role of the working class. For decades, the resistance of the working class has been there, but it has been in a passive form. For example, workers resisted by stealing what they could within their factories. Let me give you an important number. For the crime of the appropriation of the socialist property, in 1988, 28% of all crimes belong to this category, appropriation of socialist property. In 1976, it was only 19%. So it went in 12 years, from 19% to 28%. Within those condemned for this crime, a disproportionate 65% of people perpetrating this crime, let's call it crime, were workers. On the other hand, workers had been resisting through what is called work abstentionism. They lacked discipline, and you could not force them, unless with harsh and overt repression, to work and to raise productivity without incentives, because they couldn't be fired. You couldn't fire workers in socialist Albania, and it was one of the biggest concessions that the party bureaucracy gave to the working class in decades. But in early 1990, there were signs of active resistance of people in Albania and of the working class especially. In January, there was a small demonstration in the northern city of Shkodra. In July, there were big demonstrations in the town of Kavaja in central Albania, where people for several days ousted any kind of state power there. There was a power vacuum in this town, where people, especially workers of the glass factory, somehow gained political power there. The reaction of the party was fearing what happened in Romania. We should not use lethal weapons. We should not use harsh repression. We should use, they claimed, the authority of the party, which was the thing that they lacked, actually. Because at that moment, the party had no moral and political authority. They had, of course, loyal forces in the repressive apparatuses, but they decided quite consciously being, in my opinion, Marxist enough to understand that when you have the working class against you, you cannot risk a lot. So they consciously and deliberatively choose to restrain from using lethal weapons and harsh repressions. In December 1990, there was a new wave of protests started by the students of the University of Tirana. They organized some demonstrations, and workers joined them from all over Tirana, especially from all the factories in Tirana. And on December 12, the first independent political party was formed in Albania, the Democratic Party of Albania. And this was a party made of intellectuals and students, mostly of intellectuals and students. But workers became part of that new, let's call it, historical block. In January 1990, the miners of Valias, one important mine nearby Tirana, entered the strike, and they demanded a 100% pay raise. They were the first self-organized structures in the workers' movement in Albania, and workers from all over Albania solidarized with the miners of Valias, and also the students of the University of Tirana showed their solidarity. But unfortunately enough, in this new historical bloc made of students, intellectuals, and workers had a subordinate role. They accepted the hegemony of intellectuals, meaning that they accepted the hegemony of the newly formed Democratic Party. The working class in Albania was quite big, was quite strong in potentials, but they had no experience of self-organization. They lacked self-confidence to become an independent part or party and to escape from being hegemonized, let alone to extend their hegemony to society. The ideology of this new historical bloc was somehow contradictory. For example, in the main journal of the Democratic Party, you could find Trotskyites based articles calling for workers' democracy, workerism, and things like that. And on the other page, you could find articles calling for the shock therapy. So it was this contradictory ideology, which in the end resulted in the win of this intellectual wing, and meant, you know, the disappearance of workers as an independent social and political force. In March 1991, there were the first pluralist elections in Albania, and curiously enough, the Labour Party of Albania won them. The communists, let's call them communists, won them in free and fair elections. Why did they win? Because they had the support of the peasantry. In early 1990, the peasants were gaining some economic freedom. The party reallowed them to own their livestock, their small plots of land, and most importantly of all, the peasant feared that the old pre-socialist landlords would come back. And that's why they supported the Party of Labour of Albania. On the other hand, the working class, especially the industrial working class in the big cities of Albania, massively supported the Democratic Party. So the communists won power through elections for the first time in their history, but ironically enough, they had lost power because they have lost the economic key places. They have lost the main cities. The workers refused to go back to factories. They entered in strike. They called for a general strike. So basically, in 1 or 2 months, the Party of Labour of Albania conceded defeat. It was transformed in a socialist party, and it somehow accepted the new course of capitalism, neoliberal capitalism, and things like that. In conclusion, the working class in Albania had a victory, had a very important victory, but it was a Pyrrhic victory. Because they won their freedom, but they lost their factories. factories became closed in Albania. Workers were massively unemployed. Most of them emigrated, and they became part of the lower echelons of the working class in Italy, Greece, Germany, and things like that. A lot of them were becoming plebeians, small vendors, self-employed, and things like that. So basically, they won political freedom, but they lost themselves. They became, ironically speaking, deproletarianized, but they didn't become more than proletarians, but most of the cases they became less than proletarians. Nowadays in Albania, there is no workers' movement. The number of workers in Albania is approximately one-fourth or one-fifth of what it used to be in 1990. We have no trade unions, or basically no independent trade unions, and workers' rights and working conditions are going from bad to worse. Thank you.